You're listening to the Permaculture Princess podcast. This is episode number 21. Today, I am chatting with Alec Lapoidovin of Fresh Roots Edible Landscaping. Alec and I connected over the infamous Instagram. I mean, who else loves obsessing over the photos that are organized under hashtag permaculture design? Alec is a fellow lover of health, sustainability, and permaculture ethics. He is doing amazing work across southeast Wisconsin in helping people garden and learn about how they can better take care of the land. Today, we get super practical about what a permaculture designer does and how our Wisconsin and Zone 5 region is accepting the regenerative agriculture movement. So stick around and listen in as I hang out and chat with my friend Alec Lapoidovin. Welcome to the Permaculture Princess podcast. This is a space for lifting up elegant sustainability and abundant practicality. I'm a lover of edible landscaping, plant-based nutrition, home remedies, green smoothies, and all things fitness. I am your host, Andrea Thompson, and as a personal trainer, wellness enthusiast, homesteader, mother, and Christ follower, this podcast acts as a platform for sharing actionable advice for a more abundant landscape and life.
I need to say
Lapoidovin.
Lapoidovin. Where is that from?
It's French. The weight of wine.
Ah, perfect. That's all going to be part of this. I'm just going to leave that in there. Okay. So today I am here with Alec Lapoidovin of Fresh Roots Edible Landscaping and Garden Designs. And Alec and I met in a couple different places, but namely the Sustainability Fair and dealing with the Green Team. I have been so into what Alec is doing in this region. So we're in the Southeast Wisconsin region. So we are tackling landscape design and permaculture philosophies in this area. And so I definitely feel like Alec is a leader, but also a part of this cohort, so to speak. And we are passionate about helping people understand how to use the land around them. Today, I have Alec here, and I'm so excited. This interview has been a long time coming. He's going to be talking today about kind of the explanation and the inspiration behind his business, Fresh Roots, and why he's passionate about edible landscaping. And we'll also talk about some practical how-tos. And he can just inspire us, especially since it is a dreary Wisconsin day. He can get us excited about all the things to come in the spring and everything that has to do with permaculture. Alec, you're finally here.
Yes, it's been a trip.
Yeah, but,
very grateful to be here. So I thank you for all your work in this, and I'm excited.
Well, perfect. So I guess let's just jump right in. We don't want to waste any time. I have a lot to ask you. So I just want you to start with a quick background. Where are you from? Who you are? What are you up to? I know I saw you first on Instagram, changing landscapes all around the region. So I'm excited to see what you're up to. But I just want to know a little bit about your background.
So yeah, I grew up in this area. My background professionally, after college, I kind of fell back into the landscaping world. And through that, you know, I really enjoyed the work and being outside and changing the look of areas and working with plants. And this idea kind of came from a passion for health and nutrition and really changing my health around. And I was looking for a way to combine healthy living and the landscaping. And I had a friend who just said, well, why don't you go build gardens for people? And I thought it was kind of silly at first. And then I looked into it and found out about edible landscaping. And from there, just started doing a bunch of research, joined the Master Gardener program, and just started getting myself out there and working on people's yards.
That's awesome. Yeah. So, first of all, I love that you come from like the health background of wanting to say, hey, I want to take care of my body. How do I do that? And then it took you to taking care of the land as well. I think that that's such a cool connection and definitely what inspired me as well. So I guess that kind of leads me into my next question. What inspired your interest in specifically permaculture? How did you first hear about it? I know you talked about you got into the gardening, but why permaculture design?
I think it really appealed to me once I started understanding what permaculture was. And it seemed like we could do the same for the land that we could do with our body as far as health and nutrition. And we could utilize different designs and plants and techniques to not only, you know, make this really great production for food, but also to heal the land, to create more sustainable living, and, you know, work with the land instead of just trying to make the land work for us. And that was my big kind of inspiration. And then as I started to see all the cool things you could do with land and make food production easier, make it this beautiful oasis in your yard, and create kind of these, well, especially food forests. I love that idea because you get this really cool look. You get kind of a jungle feel with food production everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then when you understand how the plants are all working together, it really appealed to me.
Yes. Yeah, so how long ago would you say that you got into this?
Into this specifically, it's only been 4 or 5 years. So I'm still relatively early on, but I've just packed my brain full of knowledge and really gotten out there and gotten my hands dirty. As far as working, I'm sorry?
I said literally.
Literally, yeah. And then that ties into the health part too. You know, getting out, digging in the soil, getting covered in, you know, all those bacteria and microbes. It's the best thing for us.
That's so true.
So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, Danny just recently finished a book called Earthing. It's all about making sure that we are in contact with the ground. And so it's, as you say, that you had like the health journey and then you were working with the soil. Like we forget that not only the food we put into our bodies, but actually putting our hands in the dirt or our feet in the dirt for that matter is so, so crucial to our health. So I want to talk to you about the landscaping process. Dive into what it looks like when you meet with somebody who has land. Where do you start? Do they give you free rein to like play on their property? Do they usually have an idea of what they want? Like, what does an initial consultation look like? And what happens when you design and implement? What are you looking for? What are your goals? And what's the process?
Yeah. So for these projects, you know, I really work with what the customers are, you know, kind of the level that they're at and what type of property they have. So the majority of this area working in Waukesha County, you know, I do a lot of kind of beginner gardens, getting people started with it. But when it comes to some bigger projects, you know, we do the initial consultation. I go through and I see, you know, what are they looking for? Do they want, you know, small scale, just food production? Would they like to get into more of the environmental impact side of things and really change the landscape and, you know, utilize the space they have for more food producing plants and also get into some of the native wildflowers? So we meet, we discuss their goals, what they're looking for, and then I make suggestions based on, you know, what they have to work with. And then as we kind of go back and forth, we develop a plan. And then typically for the bigger projects, I'd go back, you throw together a design, and then you know, go back to them and we'd look at it, see if it could work. And then it comes down to, okay, is this something we can implement? And then we start the process of getting it actually put out into their property. Very so it's really, you know, it's hands-on, but in a lot of this, I work with visuals and I work with, you know, ways to show them what it'll look like. Because I think that's the difficult part is a lot of people can't visualize what it would look like. And that's kind of an important part.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the putting, like things can be practical, but like we also have to make them pretty. And so people want to see what does practical meeting pretty look like.
Right.
A possibility there.
Yeah, that's where, you know, sometimes I'll start with, you know, if they're beginning, you know, it's a raised bed. So it's just starting with some vegetables and fruits. And then, you know, we kind of build up a plan from there of what they can get into.
Sure.
And that makes it a little easier for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a raised garden bed. I'm starting to see more of those around the cities in the suburbs here and there. So that's nice to see. As much as I'd love to see like lawns taken out and eradicated, it's nice to see them start with a raised garden bed, you know?
Yep. In this area, it's kind of a good way to ease people into it. And then, you know, I kind of do some of the typical landscape designs and I incorporate edibles into there just to get people interested and see what, you know, these plants can really look cool too. So it's putting it out there so that it looks really good. And then they're getting food off it. It's a win-win.
That's right. I guess, what are some of the main things that you're seeking to design or implement for the majority of families like in this region? So we're a zone five. What kinds of plants, like what are your go-tos? What is a plant that you are using on a daily basis to try to help people, bring people around to practical plants?
Yeah, that's a good question. And in this area, I think it's really introducing a lot of different varieties. So if we're talking, you know, kind of a smaller garden space, I really try to introduce plants that will, I mean, you got all the typical plants that you can do, the tomatoes, the peppers, the carrots, all that in a gardening space. But then I'm really working on season extension. So getting into cold hardy crops, you know, so that we can start building cold frames and greenhouses and really produce food all year round. But then when we look into the landscape, some of the plants that I've looked at, like the Aronia chokeberry, can look really nice in a landscape, produce food, great health benefits. Ground cherry is one I really like to use. It looks beautiful. It can be in a container. It can be in a, you know, food forest setting. It could be in the back wild area of a property. And then serviceberry is another one that I've been working with, which really has been utilized in landscape design quite a bit, but we've kind of forgotten that it's edible. So I've been working with some of those to use for, those can get quite large, so they can be good privacy berms, you know, privacy screens for neighboring homes, and just, you know, utilizing some of that into the typical design. But then, yeah, some of the other ones, you know, raspberries, blueberries, all of those, finding the right locations, making it look really nice so that you've got this cool backdrop to maybe the backyard. You've got a back lot lined with a fence. Great space for raspberries. Maybe a pine tree was removed at some point, so you got acidic soil. So we utilize that for blueberries. Mm. And just, yeah, all those really cool fruits that we can do here.
Yeah.
And, oh, gooseberries too. That's another one that I try to get out there. It's got a really cool look to it, really pretty fruit, and then it's another one that's really good for this region.
Gooseberries is one we don't have anywhere on here, so good to know. I might have to add that to our little plot. I'm always amazed when I hear something. I feel like we have everything, and then of course God is like, no, you are not right. Touch the surface.
Yeah, there are so many cool plants that we can do here, and one of my big goals is to plant a pawpaw tree somewhere.
Oh yes, I have some seeds that stratified. So I've tried a couple times to plant it by the seed, but it's such a process. They have to be cold, and then they have to go in at a certain time. I feel like it's difficult, but yes.
Yes. Pawpaws are I've heard quite a bit about that.
I actually had a friend bring me a deteriorating or overripe pawpaw from down south. That she was like, here, you can use this to plant your seeds. And so I'm hoping that will get me something, but that's my hope for this spring.
That would be really cool. That would be awesome.
We'll have to do a whole thing on pawpaws next. So, but we'll save that for another time. but so I guess I think it's easy once somebody has learned like, wow, there's a system to how plants should grow or what the soil should be like or what helps, you know, what helps another plant. That, like, we could nerd out on this for a while, but what are some of the difficulties you might run into in the pursuit of spreading the permaculture ethics, the permaculture ideologies? What do you find as you are sharing this message?
Yeah, that's a great point. I could definitely get into soil for hours. That stuff it's so important, looking at soil health. And that's actually a big point that I bring up with a lot of people is, you know, we got to start with the soil and then we look at the plants and then, you know, go from there.
Right.
I think one of the biggest things is just the importance of utilizing our landscapes for more than just these wide open lawns.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really tough area. I work in the suburbs quite a bit. So we have this concept of a big, pristine green lawn, and it needs to be treated with all these chemicals, and it needs to be, you know, cut this way. And all these neighborhoods are looking at all like this just beautiful blank canvas that could be producing tons of food, literally tons of food, and also be having a major impact on the environment in a positive way. And I think that's a concept that is still really difficult to convey to the crowd in this area. It's starting to get out there quite a bit, but it's really tricky when people want all this space and we kind of have this societal view of a yard being for, you know, big open spaces to play around in and this and that. And that's cool. I'd like that too. I just see maybe taking a little bit of it and having the gardens and maybe some native wildflower areas so that we can help the pollinators and do our part and all that. And then it comes to kind of that idea in permaculture of us being stewards of the land.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that as a very important thing. And I just think that's a concept that we struggle to look at around here. So that type of stuff is a little tricky. And then I think it's also, you know, it comes down to financial investment into this type of stuff. And, you know, as I'm sure you know, in Wisconsin, the big organic movement hasn't quite seeped all the way through. So people are still very much, you know, the conventional food and all of that. And I think as we learn more as an area, you know, society here, we'll see the importance of growing our own food and producing really healthy stuff to benefit ourselves. So it's another tricky message to get across.
Yeah. Yeah, it can be. It's definitely a ladder, you know, like we're just, and everybody has to kind of climb at their pace. They have to be willing to learn and have a learning spirit. But it's not, I mean, we're not all going to be at the same place in the game at the same time. And so I think it's neat that you have committed to supporting people wherever they are, you know, wherever they are on that journey, whether it's a garden bed or like taking out their lawn.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. And that's really what's been a lot of fun is just working with people where they are and you know, no judgment on where anyone is. It's just fun to see people working with, you know, these kind of concepts. And, you know, I'm happy to plant a couple of plants in a container for someone, just any plant that they're putting in and enjoying. I think that's what it's all about.
Yeah, you have the perfect attitude for that. So I want you to imagine, and I'm sure you run into these people all the time, but for the sake of my audience, if you met somebody that was totally new, they're listening to this and they're like, what? I can have edible regenerative landscaping? How do I start? Like, how can people implement this idea, this concept on a small scale?
Yeah, I love that question. And I love whenever I'm working a booth and people come up and they ask just that. They say they've never gardened before. They don't know what they're doing. And I suggest to them, you know, grab a couple of plants that you'd like from a good source. Even starting with a container and doing tomato plants seem to be a go-to. Or I suggest trying some herbs or some salad greens. And just putting some seeds in a container and keeping them watered, keeping them in a sunny spot, and just watch them grow. And I think the big thing I always recommend is don't be afraid to fail with this. You know, these plants are amazing. They will do what they need to do to survive. It's incredible to see where plants will grow. So I suggest small containers to begin, because that seems to be very manageable, even if you're in the city and just have a balcony, or if you just have a, you know, a really small space out in the suburbs. From there, I suggest going to raised beds, since those are, you know, you're really able to manage the soil, manage the plants, and kind of benefit from that small contained space. And that's a really good place for people to start as well. If they kind of want to jump into it on a bigger scale, get a, you know, 4x4 or a 4x8 foot raised bed and grab some plants from a nursery and pop them in there and see what you can get going. But then I have to suggest location, location, location. You know, pick a spot that's close to your home that you're going to be able to visit quite often. Pick a spot that's close to water and pick a spot that has sunlight. Mm-hmm. So those three are big for starting gardens. Get it in a spot that's going to promote the best space for these plants to grow and give you the opportunity to visit that garden as often as possible. Mm-hmm. So I think those are generally what I jump off with when I talk to beginner gardeners.
So what is your favorite part about all of this, what you do?
Wow, just about everything. I love what I do. I don't feel like I have had a job since I started this business, but I think the coolest part has been seeing people get so excited about their new gardens and hearing the stories of them just really interacting with the plants and talking about all the food they've gotten out of it, and also seeing kids work in gardens. I mean, they take to this naturally, and that's a lot of fun. And then also through some of the classes and presentations I've done, I've had people respond back to me and say, you know, I don't remember one woman said, you know, look what you started. Me and my two neighbors are now growing gardens and have these raised beds going and all this. And they're just kind of going crazy with it. And mm-hmm. That to me is the biggest reward. I just love hearing that.
That's awesome. Well, I can hear you smiling, you know, so that's fine because when you are excited about something, you're exactly right. It's not a job, you know, like it's you're having fun because you're doing something that matters to you, and that's really cool.
Yeah, so, thank you.
Yeah. So what are your dreams for the future personally? Like, you know, with obviously this is a job, this is a career that you're building, but like also locally and, you know, thinking about what you want to teach this region and maybe even on a larger scale, if you want to like dream for the world.
Yeah. Well, I know my brain can get quite crazy with this and think very big scale, but, you know, I try to keep grounded in just trying to help in any way I can with this type of process. You know, I'd love to see people taking advantage of growing their own food and living healthier lives. I've seen what it's done for me and for others, and I would love to share that more with the community here. And, you know, have those benefits spread. And then, you know, working with the Washoe County Green Team, I kind of look at some of the bigger scale stuff, and we, through that, kind of look at what can we do as a larger community? How can we really start making strides in the direction of helping the environment on a bigger scale? And that's really cool. I mean, I would love to see more green spaces, more of these open areas utilized for pollination, pollinators. You know, let's get some of those wild native flowers out there. You know, bring back some of those prairies that we've kind of done away with in the area, and start to promote that bigger ecosystem that we're a part of. You know, and then I could scale that out for the world as we get into the crazy stuff. But it's really looking at what can we do as individuals to promote a healthier planet. And I think that starts in each of our yards. And that's one thing I work on, is just teaching on that and helping people do what they can and help them have fun with that.
Yeah. So I am curious, I'm throwing this at you because I am so like, I love how you're talking about working with the Green Team and working locally and kind of helping people in the education side of things. Now I see you doing so much to educate. Do you feel like Fresh Roots, are you doing both education and the implementation of things? Are you like, what does your business model look like as far as, are people coming to you to have you just take care of their space, or are they coming to you to have you teach them to take care of the space? Does that make sense, that question?
Yeah. Yeah. And I do both. I'm passionate about both. Okay. I've got a real interest in teaching. That was part of, you know, my job right after college was teaching English in South Korea. And I really enjoyed it. It was a fantastic time. I loved seeing people learn. And I kind of picked up some great things from that. So I brought that into my business with doing classes on gardening. And with that, I'd love to educate on how to do all this. And then I offer, like, just let me help you get it started. And I would really, with parts of my business, maybe not the best business model, but it's like, all right, you know, I'll get you started. I'll teach you how to do it. And then you can take over. And the goal with that is to really get people involved in this, because it's, well, it's a lot of fun, but then it's also very healthy to get out there and be active in the garden, getting the fresh air, the sunlight, digging in the soil, all of that. So I see on the bigger picture side of things, I want people to do that and to experience that. But if they are super busy, as people tend to be, I'm more than happy to jump in, you know, get the garden back to you, a manageable space for them, or do everything from the design, install, and maintenance.
Yeah.
And kind of cover everything. So I think I'm trying to cover whatever, and, you know, someone would possibly need within this realm.
Cool. Very cool. I guess it kind of all brings me, I just feel like there's so many other directions I could go, but I'm going to center down, and we're going to, like, you just have to be back on soon. We'll have to do a couple more.
Sounds good to me.
A raised garden bed one. But yeah, there's other questions I have. So I have to ask you the question that I ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and I love seeing the direction that different people will take it. And that is, what does living or sharing an abundant life or an abundant mentality mean to you?
Yeah, I like that. I think sharing an abundant life is really important. You know, I can get into my, you know, my academic background, and on the societal scale, I think, you know, we're a communal species. Like, we love having people around, socializing, all of that. And for me, having an abundant life means sharing that with others. And that's where I see growing a garden, growing food. It's such a great opportunity to share with others. You know,
yes.
Say, hey to your neighbor, I've got, you know, a bunch of extra tomatoes and peppers. Would you like to share some of them? And I think that through that abundance, we make connections. We, you know, kind of see the important things in life, and that's our communities and our families and our bigger societal groups. So that's really what strikes me as the benefit of an abundant life, if that answers the question well.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I mean, exactly right, as if there's a right answer. but, you know, I can relate to the answer in that that's exactly what permaculture is about, is creating an abundance mindset, not only like in our lives, but in the land. And obviously when it's in the land, when your land is producing, it allows us to be thinkers in that, like, to think more abundantly, to think about giving more readily. And I wish we didn't need to have abundance to give. I think that it's better if we can learn to give when there's scarcity. But I definitely think that when we start to take care of the land, like you said, as it's meant to be, like, we can share with our neighbors. I love the idea of, like, saying, hey, I have extra zucchini. Like, I think that that creates connections, and you're right. That's literally the most important thing in the world, is our connection and relationships. And so, yeah, I just am high-fiving you over here.
Nice. Well, and I do agree with, sharing in scarcity is, I think that's one of the most admirable things you could do. So great point there. And yeah, another thing I just thought of as we're going through it, you know, it's having fun with this too, you know, having abundance and sharing it, I think, is just enjoying life and having fun with all this. I mean, this is a great reality we get to live.
Absolutely. I agree. So finally, what resources do you recommend for people who are wanting to learn more? And if people are interested in getting a consult with you, if they're in this area, or I don't know if you do any, like, long distance consultations, I know that can be hard with the land, but where can they keep in touch with you or see what you have going on?
So yeah, the best way is to follow me and see what I'm getting into is, through the Facebook page, which would be Fresh Roots LLC. I also have the Instagram page where I had the pleasure of meeting you, and that would be Fresh Roots WI. And then I do have a website, freshrootswi.com. So through all that, I try to keep updated whenever I have the time, which is a little crazy during parts of the year.
Yes.
yeah. So follow that. And yeah, I kind of post as much as I can and share the projects I'm working on, and I'm getting better at sharing some tips and tricks and stuff like that to help on the education side as well.
Yeah, no, I have loved watching your journey, and it's just been a pleasure to see this mindset growing. And you're doing so much with, like I said, the Sustainability Fair, which I hope is happening again. Is there any plans for that?
Yes, we are looking to hold that biannually. So wait, did I say that right? Every other year. Let's go with that. So we're looking at 2021. So that will be hopefully again at the Retzer Nature Center, which I don't know. I think we had really good success with that. It was a lot of fun to work with the green team on that. And it's just bringing this idea of sustainability to the area.
Yep. And it's growing. It's popular. I see people and their eyes are glowing with excitement as they learn about it. So
yes, it's really cool.
Well, very cool. Thank you again for coming on. And look, listen to this. Alec Lapoidovin. Did I say it right?
Perfect.
And so I am so grateful that you came on and you took the time to share with us. Like I said, there are all these little offsets that we could go down. So I will write up those questions and get them to you another time. But yes, thank you again for sharing with us, and best of luck with Fresh Roots. I really love what you're doing for this area.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on and getting to chat about this a bit. And I'd come back anytime. And I just have to say how much I respect what you're doing as well. I love your podcast. I listen to all of them. So I'm very, very excited to be part of this. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much. This was fun. So have a good new year, since we're doing this. By the time people hear it, it will not be the new year, but you have a good new year, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Sounds good. You too.
It was such a pleasure talking with Alec of Fresh Roots Edible Gardening and Landscaping. I hope you can hear his passion, because if you were to meet him in person, you would absolutely see his sincerity for making the world a better place. I am grateful for the action he is taking toward educating and implementing regenerative agriculture principles. Please look him up on Facebook and Instagram at Fresh Roots Wisconsin. That's Fresh Roots WI. And share this episode so that people know they don't have to be intimidated by sustainability. Everyone can play a part in taking care of the land and reaping the benefits that the land has to offer. And if it seems a little scary, please just get in touch with Alec and he will set you up. I am sure of it. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Until next time. Thanks for listening to the Permaculture Princess podcast. For show notes or more information, please visit www.permacultureprincess.com or find me on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or Pinterest at Permaculture Princess. I do want to mention again that none of the advice or research mentioned here is intended to diagnose or treat, and you should always consult your own healthcare team when making changes to your health routine. If you've found any value from this podcast, please subscribe so you can get updates, and also consider leaving a review. I am often fueled on words of affirmation, and I greatly appreciate your feedback. My hope is that you find blessings throughout your day and that you discover a more abundant landscape and life.